It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with my good friend from LaGrange, Kyle Barber. Hey, Kyle.
What's going on, David?
Ready for, I tell you what, I'm excited, guys. Football season's almost here, and got to bring my buddy from China Grove, Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba, what's up, man?
Doing great, David. Looking forward to talking some football. Obviously, the Pirates reported yesterday and started practice today. So looking forward to talking about Pirate football and among other things.
Absolutely, guys. It's a tremendous time of year. We're very excited about football and pro football. And you know what? We got a very special guest. You want to go ahead and get started? We've got a great guy in Mick Mixon. And then on the other side, we'll talk about East Carolina football. Mick is actually a friend I've known for, I was working in Rocky Mount, and we were an affiliate of the Panthers. Known him for about 10 years now. Love his work, of course. He's a UNC graduate and went to UNC, and then, of course, spent many years with Woody Durham as a color commentator and then the analyst, and then went to broke out on his own many years ago for the Panthers. So we had a chance. Do you want to go ahead and do him first?
Yeah, let's
Sounds good.
All right, let's go ahead and go to that interview now. Here's Mick Mixon. Here on the Sports Objective Podcast, and we're here now with a friend of mine from actually the voice of the Carolina Panthers, actually in Spartanburg, South Carolina, for training camp at Wofford College. Mick Mixon, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. It's great being on the Sports Objective, especially since I'm down here at training camp in somewhat isolation, with my world shrinking down to just the dorm life and the cafeteria and the practice field and my little office area here at Wofford in the Gibbs Stadium press box. So it's a nice diversion to talk to you, Dave.
Absolutely. I was reading an article right before we came on from Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated bragging about Wofford College and how friendly it is. While we have a chance before we get a deep dive into the Panthers, tell folks about the campus there in Spartanburg.
Pastoral setting, upstate, small private school with incredible facilities. Mr. Jerry Richardson, the former owner of the Panthers, played at Wofford. For those who do not know, he was the only owner to have played in the NFL and also owned a team. And he's donated a ton of money over the years. So the new basketball arena bears his name, the meeting space, the locker room area where the Panthers and then the Wofford Terriers use for football is also named the Richardson Center. So his fingerprints are all over it, and I just can't imagine a better setting. I know other teams train at nice places, and some even stay home now. That's a trend. But for the Panthers, we don't ever have – nobody ever has to get on a bus. Sometimes you'll see the guys with their Segways or their little golf cart scooters. They have different ways of keeping their legs fresh. But you can walk everywhere. Everything here is within walking distance of everything you need.
Sounds like it's another thing I've heard from folks have been. It's very fan-friendly. If folks that are Panther fans listening want to go to the camp, it would be a great place for them to see.
Of course, and you know, your best chance to get up close and personal. I don't understand the autograph culture, but there are people who just go psycho mad for Luke Kuechly, Cam Newton, Thomas Davis, Greg Olsen, Ryan Khalil, all their autographs of their heroes. One little boy even looked at me a couple years ago and he was getting closed out. He didn't get any autographs, and he looked up at me and said, "Excuse me, sir, are you anybody?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry." And he said, "Well, would you mind signing my book in case you ever get to be somebody?" But this is your best chance to get close to an NFL team and hear its heartbeat and feel the pulse of this team trying to get better. And I think it's an exciting club. Very, very wide array of offensive weapons, a defense that should be pretty salty, especially in the front seven, and then some special teams potential as well.
You know, Mick, I was looking at the article, and it amazes me. I'm so used to our home team, the Panthers, being in the playoffs. It's hard to believe 4 out of the last 5 years of a nice little playoff run.
Well, it has. It's been a good run. You know, generally in our history, when we succeed, it's pretty splashy. We've been to a couple Super Bowls, haven't won one yet. The Panthers last year ended the season at New Orleans. The Saints beat us 3 times, including the playoffs. and the Panthers just did not have really the foot speed late in the year. We got some key guys hurt, Demir Byrd, Curtis Samuel, a couple of other guys. Devin Funchess was dealing with some injuries. Every team has injuries, of course, but the Panthers were just a little too slow of foot in the back end of the defense and also at some key offensive positions last year, late in the year. So the emphasis with Marty Herney and the staff was to get faster and to be not just a faster football team, but to be a fast team. And I think we're already starting to see some evidence of that here at training camp.
I want to ask you about the draft. It looks like the Panthers did very well for the draft. And do you think there are some guys that could play key roles starting off this year?
Definitely think so. That's the early returns of DJ Moore, the receiver from Maryland, the number one draft pick. Moore is a handful after the catch. He turns into a running back, takes the ball right up the field, hard to bring down. He insists that one man will not bring him down. The Dante Jackson pick has played to rave reviews. Defensive back from LSU, very twitchy, very confident. Almost a Chris Rock kind of personality where he'll just talk and talk and talk and tell anybody who cares to listen, even people who don't care to listen down here, how good he is and how good he's going to be.
That's always good to have a player that confidence. Now you have to, when you get on the field, you have to back it up, right?
Got to. I mean, Josh Norman brought that when he was here. Now he's a Redskin. It looks like Dante Jackson. It's almost as if someone sent us Josh Norman's kid brother.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, it looks like where the defense side of the ball is going to be stacked. I wanted to ask you, as far as it seems like the one area that question marks going into the season will be wide receiver. You're inside the team there. What do you think about wide receiver? Will things be better than people on the outside think?
I dare anybody from outside who hadn't been here to say one bad thing about this receiving corps. All you could say is that they haven't proven themselves in the last two seasons because of how last year ended. But we've got a new O coordinator in Norv Turner. Devin Funchess returns at 6'4", natural catcher of the ball. Curtis Samuel missed practice time the last 2 days because of a sore ankle, but the best is yet to be for this Ohio State thoroughbred. Demir Byrd, before he got hurt last year, was carving up opposing secondaries. DJ Moore, Jarius Wright, Torrey Smith, and those are just the first six. Behind them, there are guys, Bug Howard, Jonathan Howard from out of North Carolina, 6'5 receiver. He's got potential. Every time you turn around, a Mos Frazier's making a play. It's just an exciting wide receiver room with some tough decisions looming for the coaching staff.
I want to ask you for the defensive side of the ball. I know you mentioned Norv Turner. You have a new defensive coordinator in Eric Washington, right?
New, yes, to the position, but not new to the Panthers. He worked as an assistant under Steve Wilks and Sean McDermott. So wouldn't you assume that the nomenclature, the syntax, the terminology, the plays, even some of the personality of the defense would rub from Eric Washington onto the team, having been influenced by Steve Wilks and Sean McDermott. That's the hope anyway.
And the Panthers, who do you guys have for opening up? I know preseason's coming up, so what's the first preseason game?
We go to Buffalo, and that's intriguing because Buffalo has Sean McDermott as the head coach, former D coordinator, Brandon Bean, North Carolina Stanley County product, and a longtime Panther employee. He's their general manager. They've also got Kelvin Benjamin. They've got LJ McCray. They've got, Kalen Clay on their team. Their roster has some former Panthers on it. So there's another safety that was here, Dean Marlowe. So, it's kind of like playing the Carolina Panther North division.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. You're reading my mind. The Panthers to the North, seems like when the Bills want somebody, they come your way, right?
They look hard at the roster because they know, of course, you know, Sean McDermott. Oh, they got Star Latulule. They traded for Star Latulule and got him. So the former big old Carolina Panther D lineman, he's also a Buffalo Bill. So it'll be a happy reunion pregame.
It definitely will. I know the season's going to be fun. I wanted to ask you, I know that you've been working hard in the offseason. Are there any storylines or things that you're looking forward to? I love your brain when it comes to the NFL, or there are games or matchups you're looking forward to this season?
Oh, you must be confusing me with another one of your podcast guests, but we got a few neurons left, I guess. I'm almost 60, so probably not as many as you would want to have, but I think the storylines around this team are so varied and so many. How will this team form into the Norv Turner-type offense that he has in mind? How will Cam Newton adjust to it? What about the backup quarterback job? Is the backup QB on the roster? Is it Garrett Gilbert or Kyle Allen or possibly even Taylor Heinicke? Defensively, what about the back end? Can Rashawn Golden, can he hold down one of the safety spots? What about Denoris Searcy, off-season pickup? Captain Munnerlyn returns for another year in a Panther uniform. Also on the offensive side, C.J. Anderson, a running back. C.J. Anderson had his best year and got cut. I mean, the chip he has on his shoulder is the size of King's Mountain. So so he's just – someone has to pay for the indiscretion of C.J. Anderson being released by Denver. At least that's the way Anderson sees it.
I want to ask you, I know that another thing that's new to the Panthers, you actually have a new owner.
I've heard that, yeah. A guy named Dave Tepper, hedge fund savant. Net worth of around $11 billion. A billion is a big number. When you've lived your 1 billionth second, you're about almost 31 years old. Think about that. Nursery school, kindergarten, grade school, night, day, Christmases, birthdays, seconds tick off, second. Every second of your life takes you almost 31 years to live 1 billionth seconds. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then David Tepper has got $11 billion of them in dollars and bought the Carolina Panthers and has made some really good impressions. Dave, he wants to do things. He doesn't just want to own the team and stay status quo. He's already talked about bringing Major League Soccer to Charlotte. He's talked about upgrading the stadium, building a new practice facility, some new revenue streams. It already has a little different feel to it, even though he's only been here as owner for a few weeks.
You know, when you're from the state of North Carolina, both Raleigh and Charlotte are competing for, looks like, two more slots for Major League Soccer. It probably won't go to both cities, even though that North Carolina is the ninth most populous state in America.
So it's us against Raleigh, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, as far as if they're going to pick between putting a team in North Carolina, they'll pick between Charlotte or Raleigh, don't you think? They won't put, unfortunately. It would be nice to have two teams in North Carolina, but it looks like it'll be Charlotte or Raleigh if they pick one.
I'll trust your judgment on that. I don't really follow soccer that much. I'd like to learn more about it, but so, unless it's a World Cup match where the skill level is so high, so often it's hard for my untrained eye to tell who has the ball. So much of the time it seems like no one really has an advantage. But that's my problem, not the sports. It's certainly one of the more popular sports in the world.
Yeah, and certainly with your time, I know you're spending every single waking moment most likely looking for everything you can learn about all the teams or as many teams as you can, right?
Well, it's part of the fun of it. I mean, I've started looking at the Buffalo roster a couple days ago. I'm not unstumpable on names and numbers yet, but hopefully I will be by our first preseason game. My Panther depth charts are splayed out here in front of me. I've been working on them, taking the occasional phone call from people like you. It is so much fun to be down here at training camp. I try to pretend when I'm leaving home with my wife, I try to pretend like I don't really want to go away for 3 weeks and do nothing but football. But once I pull out of the driveway, I'm kind of happy about things.
I want to ask you, Mick, before we let you go, as far as fans, are there certain times that people can – are there certain open practices or closed practices that when can fans come is what I'm trying to ask to the training camp?
You come anytime you want. It's not limited. We'll be here. We break camp on Monday, August 13th, so don't come after then. Otherwise, the camp schedule, directions, parking, everything is on our website, panthers.com. You can get all the details you need. And then by all means, come see us. And then look for me when you come. I'll be the skinny, bald-headed, buck-toothed, nearsighted, face-made-for-radio guy standing around the edges of the practice fields.
Well, I'll tell you what, you are somebody to me, and I definitely will get my picture with you, and hopefully you'll give me your autograph.
I wouldn't recommend that. Whatever I'm signing will be devalued, but if you insist, I'll be honored to comply.
Mick Mixon, voice of the Carolina Panthers, thank you so much for the visit, and good luck to the Panthers. Hopefully we can be talking about in a few months about a playoff run. It'll be a nice make it 5 out of 6.
Hope so, Dave. Thanks for your time.
Guys, I really enjoyed talking to him about the camp, and, of course, I know that people, if you want to go there, Wofford College, upstate South Carolina, of course, as he talked about, where Jerry Richardson played and just given a lot of money to the former owner of the Panthers. Hard to believe that's saying that, but it is what it is. And, you know, I love football, love pro football as well, and it's always good to have a visit from an old friend like Mick Mixon. Love him to death.
Yeah, Mick does a great job as play-by-play voice for the Panthers. Been doing it a while now, and cool to have him on the podcast, and hopefully the Panthers will have a big year and make it back to the playoffs.
I'm just amazed, four out of 5 years, like we talked about in an interview, that they've been in the playoffs. It's just amazing. Not that I'm upset about it, the years are starting to run together, and it seems like it's 2 out of 3, and it's actually 4 out of 5, and hopefully 5 out of the last 6 years they've made it to the playoffs and doing very well there in the NFC South. And Bubba, I know you're closer to the area there, the Charlotte area. I know people are really proud of the Panthers and what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe one of the reasons that people forget that consistency that the Panthers have had when it comes to making the playoffs is because of that one season, you know, where you win, 14 or 15 ball games. Was it 15-1 in the regular season? In the regular season. So when you go 15-1, that certainly spoils some people. So when you win 10 ball games or whatever the case may be, 10-6, 11-5, obviously that's a very solid season, but it's not flashy like a 15-1 record. So maybe that's some of the reasons that consistency is overlooked.
I think it was the fact that they had that great season and then finish it off with a Super Bowl win.
Right.
I think that people have been waiting for them to get back to that point and win the Super Bowl. And since that happened, people kind of feel like they haven't been as successful as they should. I think had they finished that season with the win in the Super Bowl, people would probably be more aware of the other success they've had.
Great point.
And there's some people that just, for some reason, I don't know why, guys, they just don't like – I like Cam Newton. I think he's a great athlete and a great competitor. I've always liked him. And so there's some people that they – downplay every time you turn around. There's these different analysts from different parts of the country that are always Cam can't do this, and Cam, you know, he's not this, and he's overrated. And but look, they've how many teams? There's a lot of teams that would take 4 out of the last 5 years, right, to make the playoffs and actually be in the Super Bowl. I mean, how many teams that are out there right now are suffering? There's a lot of fans like the Cleveland Browns. You know, they would like to win a game, right? So. Have the Panthers 4 out of 5 years, I think people need to kind of chill on the whole. I think Cam Newton's proven that he can win in the NFL. And there's a lot of college quarterbacks, Kyle, as you know, they're great in college, but they just can't make that leap to their great college quarterback, a.k.a. Tim Tebow, and they just can't quite make that leap to the NFL.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, we saw it here with Shane Carton. Shane was a fantastic college quarterback and just couldn't, you know, even really make an NFL roster, and that's not a knock on Shane. I love Shane. It's just a fact. Whereas Cam, you know, was a great college quarterback and was a great NFL quarterback, not a traditional pro-style quarterback, but that's okay. He gets the job done.
And that's all that matters is that he gets the job done and he's winning ball games. And I think if you take – and I'll tell you another thing, guys, you take Cam – and I didn't think I was going to be on a Cam Newton tangent here, but you take Cam Newton off that Panthers roster – and I think he wins you several games that you wouldn't normally win because of it's Cam Newton. So I am a Cam Newton fan, and I'm an apologist, if you will, of his, because I think he gets a lot of grief that is not deserved. And some people could say about maybe some of his comments or whatever, but I think overall as an athlete and what he's done on the field, he's, in my opinion, he's lived up to his expectations for sure.
Yeah, I will say this before we move on.
Yeah.
Like Cam Newton, but after the Super Bowl, that video somebody did where they superimposed Cam Newton head on top of Opie Taylor was one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen in my life.
If
you don't know the video, go look it up on YouTube. Just type in Andy Griffith, Cam Newton.
Okay.
I have to do that, Kyle. I have not seen that video.
You haven't seen that, Bubba? Oh, my
no.
God.
That's funny. I've seen it. That was, 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's funny.
Yeah.
Very simple, but very well done, and it's hysterical.
Well, guys, I wanted to mention, too, about the – let's move to East Carolina because we know more about East Carolina, obviously, but wanted to give some love to the Panthers there, and good luck to Mick and Eugene, Jim Azoki, and everybody there in Charlotte and the Panthers. I want to say that we'll keep up with them throughout the season. Hopefully, we can be talking about a Panther playoff run, and who knows, maybe Super Bowl, you just never know. But we want to be local here now and talk about the Pirates. It's hard to believe we finally made it, guys, to fall camp. It's here. Players reported back. And, guys, I know you've had some things you wanted to talk about with players reporting, not reporting off the team. Can you give me an update there?
Yeah. Stephen Agar of Voice of the Colors is reporting that 2018 freshman running back Ty Thompson did not report to camp this morning. This is, you know, as of this morning, Thursday or Friday, August 3rd, if we're recording this. So we'll see if what the status is with Ty Thompson. Maybe it's just a situation where he had a family emergency, couldn't make it to camp. Igo's trying to figure out exactly what's going on, but we do know he did not report this morning.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I hope that they can resolve that. I don't know if it's – who knows what's going on, but you forget about guys, and you forget about the fact that we're dealing with guys that – we say this a lot, but they're 18 to 22 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it could be a lot of different things. You know, it may be that he's not going to be a Pirate, or it could just be a family emergency. It could be a lot of different things. 18 to 22,
right.
Like you said, freshman. He could even be, technically, be 17.
Right.
Bubba, was there a situation with the defensive lineman getting kicked off the team?
Yeah, I'm saying Jaquan Nelson, according to Stephen Igo, that's what Jaquan was kicked off the team. I have not had a chance to – I don't know the circumstances there, but I don't know if it's just a violation of team rules or what the – the issue was, but apparently Jaquan's been kicked off the team. So obviously the defensive front is an area that we've talked about some lack of depth potentially. So hopefully that won't hurt us too badly.
Yeah, definitely. That's one place we didn't need to lose anybody else.
I was getting ready to say, guys, the D-line has talent. So when I say thin, it's not that I'm talking about depth chart where we have numbers of guys. The D-line is the one area for me that I've said that I was worried about is meaning enough talent, because you know that the talent is there. The talent's not the question. The question is, do we have a number of guys? So because football is a sport of injuries, we obviously have to, you know, next guy up. And so if you keep, it seems like, what is that, three guys that now over the last year that we've lost off the D-line?
Yeah, it's definitely it's depth of talent is the issue, and D-line is a position you'd like to be able to, you know, have a few different guys you sub in and out. But it is what it is. Next
right.
man up, and gonna have to play with or without them, and no excuses.
No excuses. That's right. We're gonna do everything we can to, and I know that's why the coaches get paid, and they'll make it work. They'll figure it out, and it will be the same thing as if we lost them the very first game, right? The James, it would be, excuse me, I was trying to say James Madison. I got my mind on 2017. Of course, A&T, if we lose them that very first game out for the season, we have injuries, unfortunately, that happen like that. It's
actually better to lose them now. You don't want to lose them at all, but it's actually better to lose them now than it would be after the first game, because now you have a chance to get more chance to get somebody else ready.
That's true too. You definitely there's never a good scenario, but it's definitely better now when we haven't got. Once you get in that season mode, guys, even when things are not going right, the season goes by so fast. It's a blur compared to as fans, for us in the media and fans, it's actually slower than what it is for if you're actually on the team, for sure.
Yeah.
One other takeaway that I had, excuse me, guys, a takeaway that I had from report day is the video that ECU Athletics put out there when the players being shown their locker room, their new home, so to speak. That was neat to see as far as the training room and the hot tub, the cold tub, and all those sorts of things. So it was pretty neat. It's on ECU Athletics, and then ECU Pirates SB on Twitter retweeted it, of course.
Yeah, and I think that it's a good, you know what, it's definitely needed. I think that, you know, some people have been critical and sent underwhelming, but I think that if you look in the context of it's a baby step, in other words, I think anybody that was expecting a lot from the first floor of Ward to be like dramatically improved is fooling themselves. I think it's it's a great first step, but we've got a lot of work to do when it comes to improving what a recruit sees, don't you think? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying that
we need a football building. We need a building just for football with a big players lounge, with the coaches' offices. That's what we need. And hopefully that'll come down the road. Upgrading Ward was a good first step, and before we worry about a football only building, we need to worry about the indoor practice facility.
Well, that would be a great thing. Why not build the indoor practice facility, and right beside it, you can have the football building, and you could have that right side by side. In fact, guys, if you get a chance, I knew that you guys were going to be talking about the locker rooms. Look at Texas and also Clemson. Look at their football facilities. I mean, Texas has, like, every single player has their, I think it was Texas, has a TV over their locker, and it has their name, a picture of them and their name right there. Their own safe so that none of their valuables get stolen, things like that. And Clemson actually was great because as far as player stuff, they had a place where you could sleep. Like, if you want to take a nap, they had I mean, I don't know if y'all have seen that video, but if you get a chance on YouTube for folks listening, I'll tip my hat to the folks at Texas and Clemson, definitely the facilities. And you know what? A lot of people think I'm crazy, and I know that I've dreamed too big, but I think the only way that you're going to be big is if you dream big. If you think small, you will be small. And I think that's one thing our program is going through right now, identity crisis. We've got to decide if we're going to be big time, or are we comfortable where we are? And I think that's one thing that, not being Kyle from LaGrange here, yeah, I'm not trying to steal from you, Kyle, cutting a promo, but seeing those videos makes me know that we are capable of doing that. And it may take time for us to get that, but why not go ahead and start raising the money for it, right?
Absolutely. I don't know that we can ever have the facilities Clemson or Texas has, but we can get as close to it as we can.
Right.
And, we need to. The only way to do that is through fundraising, and that's something that a campaign needs to be started for that kind of stuff, and it needs to involve everybody, and everybody needs to be made to feel included in it. And like that, it's good to go after the top donors for that kind of stuff, but man, there's a lot of people like you and me and Bubba that would be happy to give what we can give if we were approached. And a lot of little adds up. So, yeah, that's another tangent. But a campaign for that kind of stuff, you know, I know that people might be a little sick of campaigns right now with the Southside Project, but as soon as that gets done, we need to go ahead and start on the next one. And that needs to build that that indoor practice facility, first of all.
Well, guys, another thing, too, is like you hear me say, talking about a lot about the plan. But I think if we have a plan, I really believe this. And I say it publicly on purpose a lot because I want it to happen. And I want us to, as a fan base and administration, football program, athletic program, for us to come together. Let's have a plan, a vision. Let's have why not have a $1 billion campaign, $500 million campaign, something huge for improving facilities, building a whole bunch of stuff And it's going to take time to raise the money. It's going to take time to get all those permits. And it's going to take time to build everything over the next, what, decade? Don't you think a 10-year deal, 10-year project?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely put plans in place, ideas to get built over the next 10 years and, you know, have steps that things need to be done by this year with an ultimate goal ending in 10 years from now, 2028, ending with, you know, XYZ. But we need to start off with ABC first. And, again, I go back to that indoor practice facility.
And improvements, too. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see improvements to Williams Arena, Menzies Coliseum, has to be done. Because Joe Dooley and staff are going to get it done, and that's one way we can keep them. Just like what's going on with Cliff Godwin with the indoor hitting facility, right, guys? That's one of the things he wants, he's getting.
The fan experience needs to be improved at Menzies. Obviously, having a better product on the court is going to improve the fan experience. But I'll tell you what, that was an uncomfortable place. I'm a big guy, and I am extremely uncomfortable when I go to watch a game in there. It is, those seats are too small. There's not enough butt room, and there's not enough leg room.
Leg room, for sure. I have no butt, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not as big of a guy as I am, but I'm telling you, it is uncomfortable in there. Anybody who's been to a game that is 6 foot or taller or is maybe over 250 knows that it ain't comfortable. That needs to be improved, and we need to come up with some kind of way. I just think it needs to – one thing that we're missing is the big square scoreboard, video board that drops down in the middle of the arena that everybody else seems to have with the video board on each side for all four sides of the arena. We need to figure out a way to get one of those in there. It would improve the look of the arena aesthetically a lot.
And the concourse area drastically needs to be improved.
Oh, man, concessions. Jiminy Christmas, yes. Concessions for basketball are atrocious. The selection is just so poor for basketball. It's appalling. I mean, you can get a hot dog, nachos, and popcorn. Can you get anything else?
Yeah, Kyle, that was an excellent point you made regarding the concession stands at the ECU basketball games. So many times you have probably at least half, if not three quarters of them, that aren't even open. So that's very embarrassing. And obviously we're doing it to save money, and that's what it just reflects how many or how few people we have at our games. But I remember back, I guess, 2-3 years ago, when we had a double overtime loss to Houston. And I guess it was right during the end of regulation, or that gap between the regulation and overtime. I wanted to grab my son a slice of pizza right quick, and I thought I was going to be able to do it on the upper concourse there. And as it turned out, that concession stand was closed. So needless to say, I didn't get anything right then, but I didn't want to miss the ball game. But, yeah, it's something that just has to change.
And that's one of the things where we can improve on, guys, is that we're not – and notice to the folks listening, we're not being critical. These are things that we desperately need to improve. And so what we need to do is say, okay, we need the indoor practice facility. We need to improve Williams Arena at Menzies Coliseum. That's not a negative thing. That's an accurate statement. And it, and in other words, you're always going to have to – it's like a house. The way I always use the analogy, it's like a house. You always have things you have to improve upon, right? It's always a, you know, they talk about a money pit, but there's always money that you have to spend on your house. And if you don't spend money on the house or a vehicle or anything, if you don't keep it up with the maintenance, then it's going to only get worse. And so that's my fear, is that for the folks that say we don't have any money, well, guess what? If you don't spend money, then you're going to have to wait 40 years to replace a press box. It's going to cost a lot of money, as we $60 million worth. So,
the concession stuff isn't even a money issue. I mean, I guess maybe it is in terms of running them, but if you have more options, you have more things to buy and choose from. While it may take more money to staff it, you're gonna sell more things. I mean, it's just common sense.
Right. So now what we do is we need to have it where we're offering more. You know, why not have the folks, like, I thought it was an excellent job when the athletic department brought in the food trucks with Villa Verde, Jay from Villa Verde, and they had Parker's Barbecue, and that was one of the highlights. That was probably my favorite thing of 2017 football season, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Smash waffles and Villa Verde was great. Yeah, if you could do something like that for basketball, I mean, that'd be tremendous. Hell, I'd be happy to be able to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich at the basketball games.
Right, and stuff like that, and that will be a big help. But I think the remodeling of the concourse area is a must. I definitely think TVs everywhere the game is, because I'm telling you guys, if we keep this basketball staff together for a handful of years even, we're going to see – I think we potentially could see heights we've never seen before. And not only being first competitive is our first goal, and then, you know, winning seasons is a big thing. 20-win season would be great again. NCAA appearances, conference championships, those kind of things. Those are right now maybe a dream, but I think they can be reality in 2 to 3 years under Dooley. So I'm excited about what the future brings for basketball, and I think that we're headed in the right direction. And cool. Let's hope.
One more thing on the concourse area before we move on. When it gets packed in there, when there is a big crowd in Minji's, something else, man. We need to figure out a way to build more bathrooms in Minji's, because when it gets crowded in there, those bathrooms get a little ridiculous.
Well, what happened is they had, you know, you remember, I think it was 5,300 or 5,600 seats, and
they listed it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that they expanded it in early 95 is when it was my senior year of the second semester when they started working on it. And they basically expanded from 5,600 to 8,000. They didn't have air conditioning, and they added air conditioning and the different things. But the thing is, it's great. It's not a bad venue. I tell you what, if we can make the if we can bring the students back the way we had them, you know, we'll have more student outreach to, you know, them, get them, the Minji Maniacs back. Get the atmosphere, we'll be back. I know we have to put a winning product on the floor, but we as fans, if it's students or fans, alums, whatever, we've got to do our part too. And I think that it's definitely a marriage. It's been maybe a broken marriage recently, but I think with the new staff, there's going to be definitely excitement there. There's a euphoria right now. By the way, if you're listening right now, Pirate fans, get your season tickets or game tickets. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Go ahead. Let's show Coach Dooley that we're serious and we're happy he's back. I mean, we got him back. I never thought we would get him back. We got him back. And so let's, when I get back in late August, early September, I'm going to order my season tickets. And I said I was going to do it, and I am going to do it. And I hope that more people will do it, right, guys?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be honest. I doubt I will order season basketball tickets this year. Just because realistically, I will not go to all the games or even close to all the games with having to work 10-hour days here lately. But I'll definitely go to some games this year. And to be honest, I have not been to a basketball game since the CIT tournament. That's the last basketball game I went to. And I'm definitely planning on going this year, uncomfortable seating or not.
SRO, standing room only.
Yeah, my dad and I, we bought a season ticket. Obviously, we're 3 hours away, and my dad's a little less than 3 hours, and I'm a little over. But, yeah, even though we can't make but the weekend games and then maybe one or two during the week, depending on who we're playing and that kind of thing with our schedules, that's what we just did it to support the program. We were so excited to have Joe Dooley back and the direction our program's headed. So we definitely jumped on board right away to buy a couple season tickets.
Well, absolutely. Our next guest, he's seen a lot of changes in the last year, and he's trying to – I know where we're going to right the ship, right? We're going to do that with John Bream. And what do you think, guys?
John's a great Pirate. Took a lot of heat for the banner and the Fire Conference stuff, but – his heart was in the right place, and quite frankly, I like John. I like everything he's about, and he's got the new Facebook page, Right the Ship. Everybody needs to go like the page. He posts a lot of good content up there. Right now, he's doing the countdown, the top 50 moments in Pirate history, And it's a really good account. Now, he does a lot of work with it, and the things he posts up there with the account in particular are a lot of fun. And John's a very passionate pirate, and I tell you, if you don't like Bream, you probably just haven't met him or don't understand him, because he's a great pirate and a great doctor, and does a lot of his heart's in the right place.
And I will say, I'll add to that, I didn't know him. And then we had him on the podcast back a few months ago. I've got to know him, and I will say that I definitely grew to like him and found that he is not only is he intelligent, but he's very – I think that one thing I will say before, Bubba, I'll pitch it to you, is there's a fan base – the part of the fan base doesn't understand right now that there's a difference between passionate and negative, and John is a very passionate pirate, and we need to get behind all our pirates and not throw blame and think that that person is negative when they're being passionate. So I'll pitch it over to you, Bubba. What do you think about John?
I think John, he's obviously a very passionate pirate, like most are. He's someone who, believe it or not, I found out in the last couple months that when my dad was talking to my uncle regarding the banner incident last fall, and it came up that he went to school at Richmond County High School with my cousin. So that was a connection, small world. But yeah, John's a great pirate, and I think he was misunderstood, even though some people may not have chosen to do what he did with flying the banner. That's what a lot of us were thinking along those same lines as far as needing a change in administration. So whether you agreed with it or not, I think – from everything I know, John Bream's an excellent pirate, and I really enjoyed the countdowns that Kyle referenced. He does a great job with those, and obviously the name of his Facebook page now is something that's positive, and he just wants to see ECU succeed in whatever it is, whether it's athletically, academically, with like the med school program that he's a product of, or otherwise.
And guys, let's go ahead, and we could talk all night about John, but let's go right now to that interview. We're here on the Sports Objective Podcast, and one of our friends of the show and friends now is John Bream from Right the Ship. And Dr. Bream, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me back.
Great to have you, and I wanted to bring you on because it's the summertime, and we have a lot to talk about, and so I thought it'd be fun to have you back before the season starts, and then of course when the season starts we'll get you on again. But we are where we are now in the hot summertime in North Carolina, and I wanted to ask you out of the gate, how are things going with Right the Ship?
Yeah, so things are going really well. For people who may not know, what we did was we kind of turned Fire Conference from a lot of people in that movement who are united just to a group of concerned pirates and a passionate group of pirates who really just want to move forward and, turn the page and right the ship into a new, hopefully much more successful era in ECU athletics. And so it's been relatively successful. The Facebook page has, we're closing in on, 700 likes, and has been growing actually very rapidly recently. As one of the things I've been doing is a top 50 countdown of great moments in ECU football history, and so that has really picked up a lot of momentum, and the page is growing by probably about 20 to 25 likes per day, and actually the last two posts have or the first two posts have generated more than 200 likes and a bunch of shares and have reached over 3,000 people. So it's actually been really good. The page is overwhelmingly positive. I think that was one of the criticisms of the Fire Confer page. Everything seemed to be critical. And so, this page is very overwhelmingly positive, just trying to keep people pumped and energized and engaged in ECU, not just ECU football, but ECU in general. And so I hope that people will read it and like the content. And not to say that everything at ECU is, all butterflies and roses, because it's not, but, the focus is definitely more on uplifting, being uplifting, and definitely not negative. But, certainly if something goes haywire and, ECU deserves to be caught all on the carpet or there's something critical, then, obviously we will discuss that as well.
Well, John, I tell you what, for me personally, I have said this all the way back, so it's nothing new. I believe this year is a healing process that the Pirate Nation, our fan base, has to go through, including the administration and everybody involved in ECU athletics. And I like what you're doing with Right the Ship. I think that people, I've got to know you very well over the year, this year of 2018. And I think the interesting thing is, what people may perceive you to be is totally different than the way you are.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly see that. I mean, I'm definitely, you know, a passionate Pirate fan and have been, you know, since I started at ECU in 2001. And, you know, sometimes people mistake passion for negativity, and I could certainly see how that may have occurred with, you know, the Fire Conference movement. But, you know, it was definitely, I think, an important step. A big first step, and now, you know, we're in the hands of the Special Assistant to the Chancellor, Dave Hart, and I think all of us are anxiously awaiting the results of his deep dive. Very pleased with the hiring of Joe Dooley. Very, very thrilled with the assistant coaches he's hired. There's a lot of great experience on his staff. You know, Rafael Chilius, the guy, the assistant head coach of Virginia Tech, who they hired just yesterday, I believe. And then, you know, Pasternak has lots of head coaching experience. And so there's a lot of talent, a lot of coaching talent on that bench in basketball. And so that's definitely, you know, I think everybody in Pirate Nation believes in Joe Dooley. I can tell you that, you know, I've been to a lot of games. I was a student and lived in Greenville. And, you know, I've never, you know, been super motivated to buy a season ticket to somebody who lives 3 hours away, but I believe in Joe, and I would run through a wall for Joe Dooley. So just based on what he said and how he conducts himself, and I think he gets what it means to be a Pirate. I think he's gonna get a lot of people fired up, and I'm actually really excited about basketball season. You gotta get through football season first, and I hope that we turn the corner there. Scotty has made some good hires. I think, you know, we've gotten, I hope we get back to what our identity is. It's getting back to being Pirates. And I think, David Blackwell seems to understand that very well, what it means to be a Pirate. There's a lot of other, coaches on the staff, Kirk Dahl, and, who's been here, understands that. And, some influences on the program who, totally get what it is to be a Pirate and have that chip on the shoulder. And, I mean, I hope it translates to some more wins this year. I think everybody wants us to be successful. Everybody wants to be back to 50,000 strong. And, we've all just got to unite together and, donate to the Pirate Club and, make that happen.
You know, John, with you make a lot of great points with this year. If you think about, we're in July now, so the year in review. But when you look at what we've got going on this year, if you think about, I made the decision in January to do the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party, and you knew about it way in advance, too. But I was thinking back the other night when we were doing the party about, man, this year has gone way better than I anticipated. And when I was thinking about the idea for the party, we wanted to do it because we were like, man, things are just so rough right now. What can we do to be positive? And you look at this year, you've got it started back actually with Philip Wood, who I think is doing an excellent job in July of last year with Pirate Club. You look at Levo resigned, and then you get Dave Hart back, and you get Comfort is gone. You get Dave Hart back. You get Dooley hired. I mean, and Montgomery, like you said, is making these fantastic hires. Things are looking way better than we anticipated. The baseball team went back to the playoffs. The women's golf team, I know they unfortunately got a little ill and had the flu. They couldn't, and they had to withdraw from the tournament. But I think they're regional. But a lot of the things ever since the beginning of the year, things are looking way better than I could ever have imagined.
Yeah, that's what I hear. From folks inside of board and whatnot, it's just like a completely different environment to work in. And I think that has sort of translated to, the athletes as well. I mean, when there's, a toxic environment in the administration, there's, that's going to, trickle down to the athletes. And so I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, I wish, you know, Mr. Confer all the best in whatever his future endeavors are. But, you know, I just think he wasn't a fit for ECU. And, you know, I think, you know, not to tease a little bit too far about, you know, the greatest memories of all time, but, I mean, the day Confer is fired is going to be one of them. It's actually in the 30s, and it's, I think, you know, this kind of is projecting a little bit, but I think when we get 10 years down the road, you know, we're going to look back at that as a very important day in ECU history. And, you know, like you said, there are lots of great things going on, and those certainly should be lauded. But, you know, we've got some big problems to tackle, and most importantly, the budget. You know, where, you know, somewhere in the, you know, I was a little discouraged at the Board of Trustees, and maybe they didn't have the figures quite yet, as the fiscal year only ended on June 30th, but, you know, the Board of Trustees met. We did not get, you know, actual figures, but, you know, my guesstimates are that the budget's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a $4 million deficit. Like you said, Philip Wood's doing a, you know, good job. I actually just updated the Right the Ship page today with the Pirate Club numbers, and we're at, I think, bearing down on 5,900, which I believe would actually be a slight increase from last year. So, I mean, I think that's just a huge win. You know, given the two down seasons and whatnot we've had, just, you know, holding that together, I think it's a huge positive in and of itself. And so I think we're a little bit behind on our fundraising total. We're just over $6 million with a goal of $8 million, but, you know, in season football tickets are about 3,000 behind. So if you translate that roughly, you know, 3,000 season tickets off at $250 a piece, roughly, that's $750,000 in lost revenue. And then if the Pirate Club ends up not being able to, you know, raise the $8 million, and, you know, it's looking like, I'm just guessing, they'll probably be closer to the $7 million ballpark, then, you know, you're $1.75 million behind that's got to be made up. And that just kind of, you know, unless there's some massive new revenue source comes in or some major donation, you know, that's you know, just getting further behind the eight ball. And so, I mean, I think the budget is the biggest concern going forward. I think we've got to figure out, you know, Dave, and that's, you know, obviously incumbent on Dave Hart to figure that out. I don't think, in my personal opinion, you can't just continue to cut. I mean, if you already made a 10% cut in the budget, but, you know, you risk getting to the point where you're not competitive if you keep cutting recruiting budgets and coaching. You know, I know they didn't affect salaries, but, you know, we've got to increase the salaries of the coaches. I mean, you know, the reason we're all fired up about Joe is because Joe's a great coach, but you gotta pay him. You know, Billy Godwin's a great coach. We have to pay him. You know, and, you know, I think the jury's still out on Scotty. But, you know, if he turns this thing around and, you know, we win 6 games next year and 9 games next year and we're rocking and rolling, then you gotta pay him. And right. So this money's not gonna come out of thin air. And so I would encourage all Pirate fans to kind of you to realize that. And to realize that, we've got to open our wallets, and we've got to support the team. And so, yeah, I think, like I said, there are a lot of great things going on, but I think we've also just got to, you know, keep in the back of our head to be mindful of, you know, there's still some challenges, and I think, you know, Dave is probably astutely aware of that fact.
You know, I remember when Brian Bailey was talking about last year, whenever the Pirates lose on Saturday, it's hard to get a loan after that, like maybe on Monday morning. It's a great analogy because, in other words, when things are going great, then everything is great. When you're winning football, everything's great here in Greenville. When you're not winning, then it trickles down to whether or not you get a loan. I'm just kidding. But it really is amazing to me that we've got to have, and I will say this as a fan base, we've got to do a better job of, we have a great fan base, but the one thing I will say is when, okay, so we are losing, and I get it. I get it that it's it hasn't been a great time. However, just like you said, you know why Alabama and all these other big schools are where they are? It's because they have a lot of people giving at least $100 for the Pirate Club, or they're buying a whole bunch of season tickets. Can you imagine if we had 30,000 or more season tickets sold? I mean, it's possible if we can find some way to right the ship.
Yeah, definitely. And you just gotta, you know, figure out a way. And that's what, you know, we've got to figure out is what is it that we are not doing that is, you know, causing people to not convert from the student pirate club to the pirate club. And I think that's sort of, you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, we've really got to kind of sit down as a group and kind of figure out. You know, ECU, despite the fact that, you know, I think somewhere, if my numbers are correct, and they may be a little bit off because I don't have them right here in front of me, but, you know, I think around, if I remember correctly, according to that excellent video that the Pirate Club put out with All Hands on Deck, that around the turn of the century, we had around 8,000 Pirate Club members, and we just kind of slowly been dwindling down. But at the same time, you know, the student pirate ECU has grown from, I think when I started in 2001, the enrollment was around 17,000, and now we're closer to 30, and the student pirate club has gotten bigger, and, you know, we're not converting members of the student pirate club to the pirate club, and we've got to, you figure out how does that happen. You know, schools like Clemson, how are they doing it? Schools like Alabama, and obviously winning is a big part of it, but, you know, we were winning for a good portion of that. I mean, you know, we were winning from, you know, 2005 to 2014 or 15 pretty consistently. And, you know, two conference championships there and two beloved coaches. And, you know, there's a lot there to be happy about. But, you know, the number of Pirate Club members didn't sort of swell in the expected fashion with, you know, winning and, you know, increase in just a general number of alumni. So I think, you know, the Pirate Club, I think, just really need to take a very hard look in the mirror about, you know, what we're not doing and what we could do better. And, you know, that's, I think, a fair criticism. I don't want to seem like I'm being harsh on the Pirate Club because I'm really not trying to be. It's just I think, you know, there's got to be a realization that we're just not converting students into long-term donors, and that's what, you know, this program needs to succeed. Especially in the American, where, you know, we need money more than ever to remain competitive.
You know, John, I think that's the one thing that there's a lot of hard feelings right now, and I'm saying that across the board still with whatever decisions have been made, not made, or whatever. But when you have these tough times, that's what makes us strong. I was thinking about that this morning before I interviewed you. The fact is we actually – this is the time now when what we're doing right now. As I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, I am 45 now. So that's what we have to do. I was literally looking in the mirror this morning, brushing my teeth, and I was saying, you know what, this is what we have to do for East Carolina. We have to take, as you were talking about, the deep dive, a really hard look. We're looking in the mirror, and you know what, I may be 45 or whatever, but I can still take care of myself. We can still do a whole bunch of stuff, and we've just got to, I think that, I remember growing up, and you hear not my parents, thank God they never said this to me, but you know, you've heard that term, you say why, and they said, because we've always done it that way. What my hope is that we can have a honest dialogue where everybody, Pirates, we've got the best fan base. There's nobody that has a better fan base than us, and we're very passionate, and we're very loyal, believe it or not, and so what we have to do is embrace everyone. I don't care if you give $100 season tickets, whatever, and I know that the SID, Tom McClellan, back in the spring was talking about this, very true. If you're giving $100 or you're giving $1 million, we've got to embrace everyone. And so that's what we've got to do is embrace everyone. Everybody's a Pirate. I don't care if you didn't go to – it's great. If you didn't go to East Carolina, I still want you as a fan, right? Don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, everybody matters. And that's what, you know, like you said, I think that's kind of one of the key points there is, you know, it doesn't matter if you give it a, you know, I'm sure, you know, a you know, Walter Williams level, or you give it a, you know, John Bream level, or, you know, whoever, you know, in the $100 Pirate Club donors, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, everybody, it's at the end of the day, you're one Pirate Club member when they take the census of the Pirate Club, you know, because you gave it a, you know, Walter Williams, you know, was a great Pirate, but he was still one Pirate Club member. You know, and so, yeah, I think we just got to realize that, you know, we need body, you know, we need people, and, you know, 100, you know, a lot of $100 donations, you know, add up. And so, yeah, I think we just got to figure out, you know, what is it, how do we, you know, get people engaged? Because, you know, we've got, you know, somewhere in the ballpark now of 200,000 living alumni. You know, how do we get, you know, a larger percentage of them just to give, you know, $100 or maybe even $500. And, you know, those who are willing and able, you know, how we get them to give, you know, what they can. I mean, I have lots of ideas. You know, I think, you know, you could ask, you know, people to give, you know, one day's work, you know, just, you know, can you donate, you know, one day's work, you know, or whatever that may be to certain people or, you know, whatever, you know, they do. I think there's all kinds of little campaigns they could do to make things like that happen. And I would just like to see kind of more engagement in the communities that they're involved in, you know, a monthly breakfast among Pirate Club members in, you know, each of the markets, you know, that, you know, the field reps can lead and whatnot, just so you get more, you know, Pirates involved on a more regular basis so that they feel like they're getting, you know, something from the Pirate Club. I feel like that's kind of, you know, if you're like a guy like me, I tailgate, you know, far away from, you know, the Pirate Club building. It's probably about 25-30 minute walk. And so, yeah, I don't get a lot of the benefits of the, you know, tailgates and all that kind of stuff the Pirate Club offers. I think if a lot of people felt the benefits were tangible, they maybe would be, you know, more apt to join. But, you know, we do have to do a lot better of just getting, you know, people engaged in the Pirate Club. And I think the Pirate Club just got to do maybe a little bit better job of getting the Pirate Club out there to people and, you know, calling, you know, cold calling and, you know, just, you know, getting it out there what the Pirate Club is all about. Because, I mean, the team behind the team is very important to our long-term success.
Absolutely. And by the way, folks, you can call right now with your donation. You listen to John and he's firing you up. It's 252-737-4540. I know they'll take your donation, your pledge, and we want to get a lot of people in the stands, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. I tell you what, I'm getting ready to go on a cruise, John. I can't wait. And right before a season starts, I do it every year and they rejuvenate the batteries. And I wear my ECU hat or shirt or something like that, and people just say go Pirates, or I'll hear "Arrgh!" or stuff like that. It's really cool. We've got a tremendous fan base. What we have to do is translate that from tremendous fans. If you're a tremendous fan, instead of just saying you're a fan, give with your wallet. And again, it could be $100. And I've talked about this. If you're listening right now and you have Netflix and you're an ECU fan, you can be a Pirate Club member. It's just that simple. Again, 252-737-4540. Give them a call now and sign up. It's very easy. They'll take very good care of you, right, John?
That's right. 1-800-ECU. You know, get your season tickets while you're at it too. You know, I think one of the really cool things they've done is, you know, kind of the pick your seat option, if that's still going. You know, if you're interested in buying season tickets and you haven't done so yet, that, you know, they can kind of, you know, it's sort of a maybe get a little bit ahead of the game before the seat allocation, you know, reallocation, and you can pick your seat if it's open. And so I think that's a pretty cool idea that they've done to get, you know, more season tickets sold. And yeah, I'm hearing some rumors that the new intro video this year is going to be very pirate themed and should get a lot of people fired up. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, more, you know, pirate themed things in the games. I mean, I think I've heard, you know, some rumors of some ECU Legends videos, some tributes to the 1983 team in the game. You know, I'm thinking, I'm hearing there's going to be some lots of really, really cool stuff on tap this year. And, you know, the Pirates just got to get back to being Pirates. I mean, that's what made us successful. And we have to, you know, there's only one other, we're the only team in Division I football that are the Pirates, and one of only two overall, you know, with Seton Hall. And so, you know, we really need to own being the Pirates, because it's a really awesome mascot, and it can be marketed very well. I mean, everybody loves Pirates, and so we just got to, you know, we got to get back to being ECU. Just, you know, Pirates being Pirates, I think, is the biggest thing.
And certainly with ECU, we're going to have, I think it's going to be a tremendous school year. I think it's going to be a tremendous, we'll see how it plays out. I'm very hopeful. By the way, I was going to tell you this. If we do go bowling, I hope you'll go on with us on a road trip. I think that will be a lot of fun sometime in December.
Yeah, bowl games are a blast. I mean, let's play the January bowl game, Dave.
Yeah, hey, yeah, that's true. I'll definitely have enough.
Let's aim high.
That would be.
Yeah, no, I went to. Yeah, bowl games are great. I mean, I've only been to, you know, unfortunately, with my work, you know, the ER physician, our schedules are made 3 months in advance. And so it's, you know, really hard to get people to trade around the holidays for a bowl game. And so, you know, I've only gotten to go to a couple, you know, actually both Birmingham bowls, ironically. And, I mean, they're a load of fun. I mean, bowl games are there's a lot of great alumni events that go on, and it's just it's really a special treat to get to do. So I'd encourage everybody when, you know, hopefully if we can, you know, win six games this year and go to a bowl game, and I hope, you know, lots of people can go, because it's just, they truly are a lot of fun.
I'm going to put the guys on the spot, and I'm going to ask you right on the spot. If we go to a bowl game this year, we'll do a podcast. It may not be live, but we'll do a podcast at the bowl and put it up there on definitely where everybody's listening. And that's how if we go to a bowl, I'm committed to doing a bowl podcast right there at whatever, wherever we are. That would be nice. Wouldn't that be nice to talk about? That would be fantastic. John, Dr. Bream, I appreciate your time. I know you're very busy right now. You were nice enough to give a little time today, this afternoon, and we look forward to having you back on during the season, and hopefully at the end of the season we can go bowling.
That's right. Sounds good. Thank you, Dave. Go Pirates.
Great interview with John Bream. Appreciate him very much, Dr. Bream. He's a fan of this podcast, and we're a fan of him. And again, go like his page, Right the Ship. He has a top 50 moments in Pirate history. It's outstanding. And John, I will tip my hat to you, my friend, because I've really enjoyed those moments and reliving a lot of things that I grew up through, the times of teenage years and up, and also things that were before my time, as far as before I started pulling for the Pirates in 1986. It's been great to see the history of the Pirates. For example, I saw the other day one where we beat Sonny Randall, I think it was in 76. And when he went to his alma mater of Virginia, and I thought it was a great that was a great one. I think it was a few days ago or last week. But anyway,
apples to oranges game. We can handle Sonny.
Yeah, 61-10, I believe.
Yeah. So that was one of my. I'd heard about that game, but I haven't. I saw it. It was nice to see it as one of the top memories. So kudos again to John for that,
yeah.
Guys.
And one more thing before we move on from Brain, want to thank him for making the drive out from the Piedmont to come to the podcast party, stayed a couple of hours just to support us. So big thanks to John for doing that.
And he had to be up early in the next morning, like at 6 a.m. He had to be at work, and he literally had like 4 or 5 hours sleep. He did that to help us out. So, John, we appreciate you for doing that. And I want to tell you something, guys. I was really thrilled. Recently I had a chance to talk to Mike Bell from the general manager of the Tops, and he actually, they had another great season, and I was just thrilled. I've enjoyed Fleming Stadium. I appreciate all the history there, and what do you guys think about the Tops and Fleming Stadium?
Well, my memories of Fleming Stadium was we hosted the, I believe it was the 04 regional there, and I won it because we didn't have Clark LeClair yet, and Harrington Field wasn't appropriate for hosting NCAA regionals. So that's my memories of Fleming Stadium. I've never been to a Wilson-Tops game, heard good things. But, yeah, when I think of Fleming, I associate it with East Carolina and the 04 regional.
Like Kyle said, my memories of Fleming Stadium are about that 2001 regional when we I guess the UMBC and South Florida and then Winthrop in the championship game to advance to the Super Regional, which we, of course, hosted in Kinston and lost to Tennessee. But
that was close, man.
Oh, but, I'm playing 04, okay, 01.
But I know ECU and the city of Wilson, they did an excellent job of hosting that regional and getting the facility where it needed to be to host such an event. And as far as the Tobbs, I've been familiar with the Coastal Plain League for years. Actually never seen the Tobbs play, but I have seen the Wilmington Sharks and some of the other CPL teams. It's one of the better collegiate summer leagues around. Of course, the main one that you hear about is the Cape Cod League. But yeah, and the Wilson Tobbs, I know this year they had one of the App State players, my buddy Britt Johnson, told me about that. But, yeah, I would definitely love to get back to Fleming and check them out sometime.
All right, let's go to that interview. I appreciate had a chance to sit down with Mike Bell, the general manager of the Wilson Tobbs. We talked about Tobbs and, of course, the North Carolina Baseball Museum. Let's go to that interview right now. Well, it's summertime, and of course, one of my favorite things to do is watch baseball, and one of the greatest things you can do is see summer baseball, and you know what? You can go to the Wilson-Tobbs, and with us right now from the Wilson-Tobbs is the general manager, Mike Bell. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, David. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Very excited. I used to live in Wilson. That's where I met my beautiful wife, and I love I spent a lot of times out at the Wilson-Tobbs. So for people that don't know, what is the Wilson-Tobbs?
As simple put, the Wilson-Tobbs stands for tobacconist, because Wilson is a huge tobacco country, used to be and still is now. It is collegiate baseball, but with the feel of minor league baseball. So we put on all the promotions that you can imagine in minor league sports, like fireworks. We sell alcohol out here. We do community events. We get our players out into the public. But we do it with college athletes from all over the nation. So we recruit. Usually there's one from about almost every university you can think of, but it's college athletes in a minor league feel with a wood bat.
And it's very exciting because it's good for not only you guys and the community of the great city of Wilson, but it's also good for the athletes because it gives them a chance to play virtually year-round, right?
Yeah, this is what is going to feel like, and I reiterate this to the ball players all the time, and so do the coaches. This is, since it's a wood bat league, this is the closest thing they're going to get to that next level. It's very, very high-end competitive baseball, one of the top leagues in the nation. They get to come together with guys they don't spend a lot of time with, and they just get to put on a show, and there's always scouts out here taking a look at them.
I want to give a shout-out to at the league office for the Coastal Plain League. We had Shelby Hilliard on. She did a great job, and I know that the Coastal Plain League, for people that don't know, listen to that previous episode, and also you can check them out, an amazing website. You guys, your website, isn't it, wilsontobbs.com?
Yes, sir, wilsontobbs.com, and the league does a great job. Shelby does a wonderful job of what she does. That's a good pickup on giving her a call.
Absolutely. She's tremendous, and I wanted to talk about certainly Fleming Stadium and the history of that, and also if you can – I know that you guys have a tremendous, if folks love baseball like I do, check out the North Carolina Baseball Museum. It is awesome, and that's right adjacent to the ballpark.
Oh, yes. It is a lot of history here. Everything here at Historic Fleming Stadium is well older than me. We're closing on 80 years. The facility is about to be 80 years old. It's still in wonderful shape. It gives you and brings you to that old school feel, the museum. Is decades old as well. Got a lot of funding from the city. It's the only place, the only state to have its own baseball museum here. And it's right at Historic Fleming Stadium. The Tobbs name has been here since 1908. So we're talking about decades upon decades to almost century of historic baseball here. And it's all captured right next door to the offices here down the third baseline in the North Carolina Baseball Museum. It's just a crazy amount of history. If you haven't checked it out, if you haven't been to a Tobbs game, if you haven't been to the museum, if you haven't been to Historic Fleming Stadium, which is crazy because how old it is, please come down and check it out. You will not regret it.
I was just thinking about, Mike, it's pretty much, if you think about Eastern North Carolina, from even the Triangle East, if you will, and especially east of I-95, when you think about tobacco and baseball, that's pretty much the history of North Carolina, right?
That's it. Farmland, tobacco, and baseball. Old school feel.
Absolutely. As far as the players go, are there any potential prospects, players this year that you've that really caught your eye?
Oh, yeah. Every year you get about 7 or 8 of the guys drafted each year from each team in CPL. We got a center fielder from Shepherd University. He went to the All-Star game. His name's Brenton Doyle. He is Division II All-American. He has a 6'3", 200-pound build, completely fit, runs a 4'3". I mean, he's extremely fast, and he has a great glove and can smash the ball. David Harrison, big lefty from NC State, was a freshman this year, came and pitched for us. He's got a lot of potential. I could go down the line. We've got one guy, Eddie Taveras from Peru State, throws 96-97. Tiny bit of control problems, but he is definitely working on that. So there's Coach Brian Hill finds them from all over, from Missouri Baptist down to Texas, up to Shepherd and up in New York area and all over. But almost every one of these players on our team has a shot to go to the next level. But I'd say about a handful are pro bound for sure.
And that's what's exciting. When you mentioned earlier in the interview about the fact that it's really college players, but it has that minor league feel, it's so true because you go there And I think that people may, that don't know, they may think, oh, yeah, but when you go there, the baseball is tremendous. Many times I forgot that it was not minor league because it really has a minor league feel to it at Fleming Stadium.
Some people in Wilson still think it's minor league ball, but yeah, there's you never know. Our host families are great for what they do as well because these ball players live with host families. And the philosophy is you never know who you're going to host. The restaurant down the street, Pup Steakhouse, and the owner or the manager of that son who works at the Arc, they hosted the probably best known Cobb of all time, Justin Verlander, played with the Cobbs, and you never know. You might host a Verlander here.
Well, I didn't know. I forgot he. That's right. He did play well. Tremendous, and of course, has gone on to win with the Houston Astros. He married Kate Upton, and they're getting ready. They announced recently they're going to have a baby. So he's. I think he did all right, don't you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Having him cleaned on the Wilson name too is definitely something that we get to promote out. But he's a gem. There's always gems coming out of this league just because of the competitiveness. And you know, like I said, it's great baseball. It's old, historic baseball. A lot of the teams in this league have old stadiums, and you just never know who's going to be that next big thing. You get an autograph, hold on to it. You never know.
I wanted to talk about, too, the people that don't know. I spent a lot of time in right field, and the reason being is if you've never been to Fleming Stadium, go, because they have a tremendous – I love the beer garden. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Yes, we have a very nice beer garden with many, many beers on tap. Everything we have in the facility, our main goal is to keep it inexpensive, keep it a very reasonable price for people to come in, you know, $7 to get in, and then, you know, go down to the beer garden. You won't spend any more than $4 on a beer. We just invested about close to $20,000 into beer garden upgrades. You're sitting right there at the railing, right by the field. You get to talk to the players as they go by. Grab yourself a refreshment. I mean, there's not a bad seat in the house. And baseball and beer, man, that's the go-to.
Exactly, and now think about the. I was getting ready to. You beat me to it. The concessions at Fleming Stadium, and with you guys, I've been to many ballparks and concerts and ball games. And it's one thing if it's one person is bad, but multiply. I have a family of five, and it can get rather costly if you go to a lot of concerts or ball games. But I feel like that's one of the things that is great about the Coastal Plain League and the Wilson Tobbs is you guys. And not only is it family friendly, I know I'm missing the beer garden, but that's the reason why right field is that area. It's not like it's all throughout the stadium. And also the prices are reasonable. You can take your son, your daughter, or your wife if you want to.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can get a box seat for $8. You don't spend more than $4 max on a drink or a beer. And we don't have anything on our concession stand, any individual product that's more than $4.50. We even do Tobbs All You Can Eat Tuesday. For $15, you get a box seat and all you can eat and drink all game long. So that's $60 for a family of four to not have to spend a single dime outside of it.
And that's good. I like to know, I was telling my wife, we're going on a vacation, and I don't like all these surprises, like the expenses that pop up that you're not doing. So anytime I know in advance, okay, in my mind, $60, we can budget out this month. Or another thing is, because it's so reasonable, you can not only go to one game, but you can go to multiple games. And I think you can buy season tickets, can't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You get season tickets, which obviously is every game. You get a box seat. They're only about $180, and that gets you 30-plus games. And then we have what's called a Tobbs 12-pack. That's 12 general admission tickets that are undated that are good for any game. So, you know, if you don't use them, you don't lose them, and that's the best thing. So, I mean, if you go to our website, wilsontobbs.com, there's no hidden features. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. What you see and the prices that you see are the prices. Our goal is if you come to our game, not only will you see high-level entertainment, giveaways, promotions, games, but if you come with $20, I bet you that your league will change.
And most, I can tell you that as a DJ working there and also as a coach and teacher at the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf, so I spent many times there at Wilson Tobbs, and I can tell you between both avocations, certainly both jobs, well, I'm not a rich guy, but I was able to go to many games because of the prices being so reasonable. Wanted to ask you, as far as the Wilson Tobbs, you're the general manager. Are there future plans, any upgrades to the stadium, anything you can give us here on the interview now?
Yeah, I mean, the team in general has expanded so much and brought the community together with so much of a positive impact. We have so many community events out here. It's led to us to see what's next with the facility. Obviously, we did upgrades over at down in the beer garden. They're talking about maybe expanding the parking, but our ownership is in talks with the city now about, you know, what's next for Fleming, because it is an older stadium. We don't want to see it go anywhere else. We want to keep the Wilson Tobbs here in Wilson, North Carolina, and the best route to go about it is to sit down with the city officials and say, you know, what upgrades can we do? How can we expand it, expand the parking, you know, fix the seating a little bit more? But there is definitely in the next couple years, we're not talking about 5 or 10, we're talking about next couple years, there is going to be some substantial changes within this organization and the stadium that are going to really open some eyes and keep it positive, and, you know, people are really going to enjoy it, but it's still going to retain its history. You're not going to mess with the history of it.
And that's very exciting. But it's something like, you know, anything, if you think about it, Mike, including my house is, let me do the math, 83 years old. And so it's great. I always joke the great thing about my house is 83 years old. The bad thing about my house is 83 years old. and I know that with the stadium, it's the same way. It's like you have a house, you have always have things. There's always repairs. There's always things that have to be done. And if you don't, then that stadium, or in my case, my house, is going to keep going down if you don't keep it up, right?
Exactly. There's always, I mean, every 5 or 6 years, they do something out here to make sure it stays safe, making sure people are still having fun. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you hear some complaints, you hear some people keeping it positive, and you kind of take those into account over months at a time and kind of put them in a safe. And then when time comes to say, what do we need to do next? You bring them out, sit down, and knock it out. And that's the game plan, is not what's best for our organization and the stadium, but what's best for this community, because we are so community related now. Almost every one of our games has a cause that gives back to the community, and we want to make sure that facility stays maintained so we're able to keep doing that.
I know that you actually had a promotion. I didn't check this year, but Bark at the Park, where you can bring your dog. Are you still doing that promotion?
Yes, we do. We get a day pass to bring the dog out to the ballpark. You know, we do Breast Cancer Awareness Night. We do Home Run for Hunger, which we collected over 30,000 pounds of food for the local pantries. We do Make-A-Wish Night with Star Wars and Mascot Mania. Almost every night, you can imagine, we've got some sort of give back that helps the community. We bring out people and give tickets to people that don't necessarily get a chance. We do reading programs throughout the school system. So it is, we are using baseball to help the community. You know, this is a community effort. This team is well and a lot bigger than just coming out here and playing old historic baseball. You know, this is a community effort, and that's what we try to do. And the museum being here helps it out even more. And the fact that, you know, we have this history in the museum here, the volunteers that run it help us out. We've got a great relationship, and we kind of cross-market a little bit too. So it's just the stadium, the Tobbs, and the museum are just hidden gems that people just got to come and check out. That's all I can say.
That's right. I wanted to ask you before we let you go, is there any, you mentioned promotions, and that was one of the questions I had for you. Any crazy promotions? That's what I love about minor league baseball, or you guys with the college summer leagues. Any crazy promotion this year that stands out?
Oh, boy. a lot of it's kind of straightforward community events, but crazy. We've got crazy in-game promotions.
Right.
The best way that I can explain it to you is there is something for everyone. If you go to wilsontobbs.com, and you click the schedule to the promotions link, and you see everything that we do. You know, it's just, I would talk your ear off if I have to tell you everything we do and all the crazy stuff that we do and all the unique things. I mean, it's just worth taking a look at, see what's good for you. Unfortunately, this is the last home game of the year tonight, regular season home game. Hopefully we host a playoff game because we've got a good team. But next year we'll sit down with the staff and we'll go over everything. And our main goal beyond anything else is to help the community and making sure everybody has a smile on their face and are having as much fun as possible when they come out here.
Well, it's very exciting, and we'll definitely keep in touch and certainly have you back on. And definitely before the season starts, or certainly back in the spring for sure. And once again, you can go to wilsontobbs.com. And how about social media? I know you guys I'm following you on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Oh, yeah. Instagram and Twitter. It's just at Wilson Tobbs. That's WILSONTO1B as in boy, S. And then Facebook is Wilson Tobbs Baseball Club. You also go to wilsontobbs.com. Everything is Wilson Tobbs. If you type it in anywhere, you'll find us.
Well, Mike Bell, General Manager of the Wilson Tobbs, we appreciate your visit, and good luck. Hopefully you get that playoff berth, and we'll definitely keep in touch and have you back next year for sure.
That sounds great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time, David.
Enjoyed time spending with Mike Bell. Appreciate him very much. I know that he's very busy with all his stuff, and appreciate him taking the time with us. And, again, go to wilsontobbs.com. They're all over Facebook and all over social media on Instagram and Twitter. So you can, if you want more information about them. We'll give a shout-out again to the league office, to Shelby Hillard. She came on and a few months ago, back in the season, started back in, I believe it was May, and she came on and talked to us definitely, and was a lot of fun for sure. I know that, guys, it's been a long time coming for a lot of the things, including the we were talking earlier about the construction with East Carolina. What are your guys' thoughts again? Have you seen any pictures recently of, I wanted to ask you about the Southside project. I'm very excited about it. And one of the many things we need to do to keep the ball rolling and right the ship. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I've been impressed with what I've seen on the Southside project. I check out the live cam every couple days or so. Also, I know Tom Andreski, or Blue Water Pirate, as he's known on Hoist of Colors, does an excellent job since he's right there.
Yes.
Within walking distance, practically, I think. He does a great job of keeping us out-of-towners abreast of what's going on, and some other folks as well have posted some really good pictures on Hoist of Colors.
We know the guys, again, that you know, the Southside project, let me just say again, I know there's been controversy about the cost, but what it comes down to is let's just use that as an example. That press box was 1978, and I remember right after I graduated, at that particular time, it was out of date in 1998, 20 years later. And we have folks, again, listening right now or in the fan base who say, we don't have the money. Well, guess what? When you don't have the money, and you keep saying you don't have the money, then you have to pay, instead of paying $20 or $30 million we could have paid years ago, we're having to pay $60 million because of not only, I know that the project was bigger than what maybe some of the fans wanted, but that's why we need to have a plan. We need to have a plan so that we can say this is what we're going to do in 2019. We got the Southside project done, and then we're in 2021, we're going to do this. And there's some things we're not going to know, and we may not have the money for it, but that just, it bothers me that people say we don't have the money, but that we built it, at $60 million. So we had to have the money from somewhere. And, it's frustrating when, we have a lot of good Pirates, but I hope they'll change that mindset, because we've got to, if we're going to be eventually in a Power Five league, then we're going to have facilities up to Power 5, and it's not up to Power 5. That's the one area that's missing right now for me, is that we're going to have to keep doing a whole bunch of stuff to even have to hope to ever have a chance to be in a Power 5 league. Don't you think, guys?
We need to just continuously build.
Right.
If we continuously do it, we do it at a slow, you know, even at a slow, continuous pace. You know, instead of doing the $60 million project all at one time, which, you know, when it's done, and it's already being done. So, but, you know, when it's done, don't stop. Keep on.
Right.
You know, move on to the next step. Let's start the fundraising process. We said this earlier for the indoor practice facility. And then just keep moving. Just keep moving and never stop. And that's how you get ahead. If you ever stop and wait, you end up in a situation where you have a press box that's, you know, looks like the double wide in the sky, and then you end up, I think, maybe a little overkill with what we're building to replace it. But we need to go ahead and start the next project. And I think Dave Hart, if he ends up becoming our full-time AD, I think he has that in mind, that we need to go ahead and get the ball rolling on that indoor practice facility.
It's going to happen. It was, you know, the thing that bothers me is that I think there's some folks in the fan base that want to keep things the same. You can't keep the things. You cannot keep things the same. If we want to have
the same, you either get better or you get worse. And
by
staying the same, you're going to get worse because people are going to pass you by.
Right.
So there is no staying the same.
When you look at guys, there's a whole bunch of people that we've had the pleasure of talking to, and they have already built an indoor practice facility, or they're getting ready to build one. And we're talking about FBS programs.
Yes.
Like James Madison, or people that have just moved up to FBS, like Liberty.
Liberty.
We could go on and on and on.
Well, spoiler alert, I'm going to go ahead and spoil Eastern Michigan. We're going to have Scott Weatherby on here very soon. And Eastern Michigan, now I know that there's some climate reasons why they would have to have an indoor practice facility. But they have an indoor practice facility, and they're looking to update it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's insane.
Well, I'm just hoping that I'm hoping that I open some folks' eyes and realize that, again, notice, this is one of my distinctions. I want to make sure people understand that passionate does not mean negative, and it means that we care, and we want to see this stuff done. And we've got to decide, again, as a fan base, are we going to stay the same and get further behind, or are we going to step up? It's fine. You know, it's one of those things. It's like poker. It's like when you play poker, it's time to ante up, and people are going to have to – the cards have – whether the people think the cards have been dealt or bad or whatever, the cards are on the table, and it's time for us to do something about it. And, Bubba, give the number for the Pirate Club. I want to give a shout-out to the folks at the Pirate Club. I know that we have friends of the Pirate Club that listen to us there, and I want to give them a shout-out right now for people to join the Pirate Club and to step up. That's the difference between another thing is people that are passionate is that people need to go ahead and get it done, right?
Right. The number for the Pirate Club, as you asked, is 252-737-4540. Again, 252-737-4540. So go ahead and make that call. And other than that, I'd say just remember the number 1-800-DIAL-ECU as well. Go ahead and make that phone call and get your tickets for football or basketball or both. And you can also, of course, do that online as well.
All right, guys, and I want to make sure that people like our Facebook page, and certainly they can find us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ or The Sports Objective. You can follow us on Instagram. Guys, we're about out of time, but do you have any final thoughts?
No, just you know, excited football season starting. Practice started today, and media day, as we record this, is Sunday, and it's good to have football back, and we're just a couple of weeks away. What are we, 3 weeks away from kickoff? It's time for football.
I believe media day was Saturday, but anyway, it's still this weekend, so that's
another thing. Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, Saturday.
Sorry. It's all good. It's all good. Well, for Kyle from LaGrange Barber, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you all you do for the podcast and for Pirate Nation. And Bubba Rosenbaum, the same from the western part of the state in China Grove. I'm Dave Richmond.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.